All right, Shabbos, say good morning, a good night. First of all, a thank you to our breakfast sponsors, to thank Mr. Gertz for dedicating the breakfast in honor of his mishpacha, honor of the kila, in honor of the chevra of the daft. Thank Yossi Kushner for dedicating the breakfast in honor of Chol HaMoed, the yamtiv, the kila, the chevra of the daft. Yashar koach. Also, I think sponsorships are still open for tomorrow. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday, and Emirat Hashem for Wednesday, Oshana Rabbah. And a special thank you to Uncle Mike, who really was here earlier than the beginning of the first minyan. Baruch Hashem, to prepare the breakfast, Yashikach to Ari for the coffee, for coordinating the logistics of the setup, the deconstruction of the room. We also thank Mr. Isaac Samuel for dedicating the shir. Memory of his beloved wife, Esther Basar Dechiel Meir, Akoni Hope, that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah in the family in Nechama. So, we have a beautiful daf out of us today. We started the new perek, Baruch Hashem, yesterday, so we find ourselves in the first daf of the new perek, or the first full block, daf Pehe 85. So, we're picking up Emir Hashem on the second line from the top, Bo'u Minei Merav Sheshes. So, we say, fascinating and riveting shayla to begin our day. Bo'u Minei Merav Sheshes. Ben Maoshi Asa Shliach L'Aviv La'Koso. Listen to this. Can a son be the shaliach, be the agent of Beis Din, to either flog his father, literally to strike his father, or to curse his father? So Malkus, we understand again, remember again, if Beis Din would go and administer Malkus, so somebody has to actually administer those Malkus. So let's say the father is found guilty of some type of infraction. So the shaila is, could the son be the shaliach of Beis Din to go ahead and flog the father or not? Now where does klolo, where does cursing come in? So again, Rashi points out over here that when they would go ahead and they would excommunicate someone, they would put them in Shamta or Nidui or Chirim, so that would often begin with a curse. There would be a klolo that was administered. So the shaila is, could a son go ahead and administer that klolo for his father? Could he give that klolo to his father? So Amalei, so the Gemara says, listen to this. So the Gemara says, Va'amalei, Va'achar mihitiruv. So both say, look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, you're asking the shaila like it's a din in a son doing these things to his father. Both say, it's important halacha to know, you're not allowed to curse any Jew. You're also not allowed to hit any other Jew. Now, obviously, I will say, so how is it that under normal circumstances, so let's say Reuven's chayiv Malkus, Beis Din says, Silber, you go ahead and you administer the Malkus to Reuven. How am I allowed to do that? Right? Or they say, Beis Din says, Reuven gets a klala. Silber, you give the klala. How am I allowed to do that? Ba'achar miyatira, ela kvot shamayim adif. What do you see from here? You see from here that under normal circumstances, the reason we allow one to administer lashes to a fellow Jew or to curse another Jew is what we call kvot shamayim. Meaning, again, I'm acting on behalf of Beis Din. I'm administering this punishment because obviously this person is in violation of the laws of the Torah. The administering of the punishment in and of itself, a kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kavod to the Ribono Shel Olam outweighs the kavod to the individual. Therefore, you're allowed to flog, you're allowed to curse. So, Bepashtos, the Gemara says, Ela kvot shamayim adif, hakanami kvot shamayim adif. Even though I have an obligation to honor and respect my father, guess what? Who do I have an obligation to honor and respect more? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, again, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that this individual, happens to be my father, be flogged or be cursed, I should be able to carry that out. May say the Gemara is the Kasha. Uma Misha Mitzuvah La'Koso, Mitzuvah Shal La'Koso. So we'll say, Gemara is going to quote a Braisa that at first glance, it wasn't, I found this. So the Gemara is going to go ahead. So you have a couple of the Columbus Muslims. So, Yaakov, you did a good job. You got on the big scores for that. You were part of that guilt trip. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. The Braisa at first glance is going to be a bit ununderstandable, so we're going to clarify it in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara raises the Kasha, Uma Misha Mitzuv Lakoso, Mitzuv Shal Lakoso, with someone with whom you have an obligation to hit them, to strike them, meaning Malkus. So yet again, there's a mitzvah not to hit them. Misha ain't a mitzvah lako, so someone you don't have a mitzvah to hit. Ain't a dinsha mitzvah shalako, so it goes all the more so that you shouldn't, that there's a mitzvah not to hit them. So what are we talking about over here? My love, edib makom mitzvah. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, well, what's the, now here's what we know. Even though we don't yet understand exactly what the Braisa is talking about, it's clear that the Braisa has two cases. The first case of the Braisa seems to be someone who's seems to be talking about a case of someone who's mitzvah lakoso. There's a mitzvah to hit him, Second bright part of the bright system has someone whom there is not a mitzvah to hit them. So the Gemara says, who are we talking about over here? My love, idi v'idi b'makom mitzvah. Are we not talking about, in both cases, where there is a mitzvah to flog this particular individual? So we'll say, so why the distinction? Habib no, haba acher. So we'll say, when the Mishnah says, when the first part of the bright speaks about the idea that even though it's a mitzvah to hit him, you shouldn't hit him too much. That's talking about stam an individual. So the Mishnah, the Brice is therefore teaching me that what? That halacha lemaisa, again, even when I have to flog someone, I have to make sure what? Not to flog them any additional lashes. I was also, we've learned this before, and we'll see this again much more in Maseches Makis, that before Beis Din would administer lashes, they had a court doctor. The court doctor's job was to go ahead and assess how much the individual could take, and halacha is that you're not supposed to go ahead and administer any additional lashes. So b'pashtos, the first part of the braisa is talking about b'no, second part of the braisa is talking about acher, to which the gemara says lo, idi lo shna b'no, v'lo shna acher. So the gemara says no, it's not true. The braisa, both say, is not making a distinction between when the individual being flogged is my father or is another individual. V'lo kasha. So how do we understand the two parts of the braisa? Kan b'makom mitzvah, kan shelo b'makom mitzvah. So we'll say, what's the distinction? The distinction is, one is talking about a makom mitzvah, and one is not talking about a makom mitzvah. What does that mean? V'achi katani, umma b'makom mitzvah, shemetzuva l'hakoso, mitzvah shelo l'hakoso. We'll say, in a case of makom mitzvah, what does that mean? Well, let's say Beis Din has assessed that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and flog the individual. Yet, mitzvah shlol hakoso, there's an obligation. What does it mean to shlol hakoso? There's a mitzvah not to flog him any additional times. In other words, you flog him in accordance with the number of lashes that Beis Din administers. But you can't administer any additional lashes. Shalom b'makom mitzvah. I both say in a case of where ultimately, again, there is not a mitzvah to flog the individual, meaning, again, just stop hitting him. Sheino mitzvah l'hakoso. Eino din shemitzvah v'shal l'hakoso. So both say, what the Rebbe is saying is like this, is that even in a case where there's a mitzvah to flog the individual, you're only permitted to flog him in accordance with the number of lashes as determined by Beis Din, and no more than all the more so when there is not a license to flog or to hit someone, that you certainly cannot hit them any more than the prescribed number of times. Nebosai, in a case where there's no mitzvah to give someone lashes, what does it mean that you can't hit them any more than the prescribed number of times, which means what? You can't hit them at all. So what the Gemara, so according to the Gemara's understanding, what the Brice is teaching is the following. If in a case where a person deserves the lashes, the halacha tells you, you could administer to them a certain number of lashes and no more, then what? All the more so, when someone is not deserving of being lashed or being hit or being harmed at all, then al achas kama v'kama, you cannot raise a hand towards them at all. So Gemara says, Tashma. So we'll say, so just to point out, that's nice. Again, important halacha, but still hasn't resolved our ikr question, which is, can a son be the shaliach of Beis Din to administer lashes to his father? I'm going to say, remember, that's our fundamental shaila. So we haven't answered it yet. Tashma. So Gemara goes weiter. Now remember again, so far the only thing we have, Rabosai, is that Rav Sheshes said that yes. Rav Sheshes is on the record as saying yes, and what's Rav Sheshes' logic? Kvod Shamayim Adif. The argument against me administering lashes to my father would be what, Rabosai? Would be what? Right? It's a lack of kibud avim. Lack of kibud av, right? So Rav Sheshes counters, Rav Sheshes says no. Kavod Shemayim Adif, that when there's a discussion between honor to my father or honor to God wins out. Therefore, Rav Sheshes is on record as saying a son could act as the shaliach of Beis Din to flog his father. That's what we're holding right now. Toshma, Margos Viter. Let's listen to this case. Hayotze Leharik. So a person is being led out to be executed, and what happens? Uba Benovi Kovi Kilo Chayiv. Supposed to listen to this. We'll call him Yaakov. No. Avram is being led out to be executed. And what happens? His son Yitzchak comes along and hits him and curses him. So what we'll say, what's the halacha? Chayiv. Yitzchak is chayiv for cursing and hitting his father. Ba'achar v'ikav v'kililo. Yet if someone else came along, meaning someone who wasn't related to Avram, not Avram's son, comes along and hits him and curses him, pater. He's ultimately pater. Svavinaba, we ask, Maishna b'no maishna acher. I don't understand why is that halacha different if Yitzchak, his son, did it versus if someone else did it. So the Gemara says, Va'amar Avchista b'mesarvin bo lotze sve'inu yotze. Oh, we'll say, what's the case over here? Avram, the person who's going to be executed, is supposed to be let out to be executed. And what happens? They're telling him it's time to go. And what is Avram saying? Mesarvin. Avram saying, no, I'm not going. He's refusing. He's refusing. So we'll say, so watch this, says the Gemara. So therefore, Amr al-Khisab Balot is Vaini Yotze. So we'll say what it sounds like over here is the following. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's right across Rashi. Vaini Yotze. Vashmonion Dibino Inonasa Shliach Bezin Lakofo Velotzi's Kashlashesha. So we'll say what the Bryce is now saying is the following, which is Avram is supposed to be executed. Then what happens? Not surprisingly, they tell him it's time to go out, and he says, no. He says, no, I'm not going. So we'll say, so now what's that halacha? That halacha is based in forces him. So what the Bryce seems to be teaching me is the following. Someone's going to have to come along and beat him up and curse him, but who shouldn't it be? It shouldn't be his son. So, and if it is his son is chayiv ultimately again for hitting his father and for cursing him. If someone else does it, it's totally fine. So what do you see from here? You see from what Rabbi Ozai, that a son cannot be the agent of Beis Din to hit or to curse his father. So this contradicts Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes said that his son can do this, to which the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes mukila. So we'll say the way Rav Sheshes would set up this Bryce is talking about a case where yes, Avram is supposed to be executed and he's not refusing to be let out. So therefore again, meaning he's not refusing to be led out to his execution. Well, if that's the case, says the Gemara, Ihachi Achar Nami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So Rav Sheshes is setting up the Braisa that Avram is supposed to be executed. Now what does the Braisa tell me? If Avram's son Yitzchak comes and hits him and curses him, then Yitzchak is going to be chayiv for cursing and hitting his father. But if someone else comes along and hits and curses Avram, then they'll be potter. But I don't understand. If Avram is not refusing to be let out to be executed, then what, Rabbi Ozai? Then why would someone else be permitted to hit and to curse Avram? And if they did hit and curse Avram, then what? This should be chayiv as well. To which the Rasha was to listen to this. Iyoki acher nami, acher gavra ketiluhu. So the Gemara says, here's the difference. The difference is, Rabbi Ozai, that vis-a-vis someone else, other than Yitzchak, Avram is considered to be like what? A dead man already. Which was, we've seen this concept already, that once a person has been sentenced by Beis Din to death, it's as if he is already dead. As such, once someone else comes along and hits and curses Avram, then what? It's as if he's hitting and cursing a dead man, in which case there's no liability. But apparently, when it comes to his son, when it comes to Yitzchak, even though Avram already has been sentenced to death, Legabe, his son is considered to be alive, and therefore if his son hits him or curses him, the son's going to be chayiv. One second, Vamar Rav Sheshes, Baisho Yoshein Umeis Chayiv. Rabosei, listen to this. But yet we learn, Rabosei, is actually a very interesting halacha. Let's say, different case, Ruvain is sleeping, and I go ahead and I embarrass Ruvain in his sleep. I paint the clown face on whatever it is. That doesn't mean I do something about say that. Remember again, embarrassment, busha is one of the categories of damages. So I do something to Reuven while he's asleep that embarrasses him. Now, Rabbi Ozai, here's the chat. Reuven dies in his sleep. Now today they were taina. He died from the emotional damage inflicted, you know, from the bushim that he was asleep. A person is conscious. No, he just died. He had a heart attack in his sleep. So what's the chap over here? The chap over here is he was never aware of the busha, of the embarrassment I visited upon him. But who was aware? His children were aware, his mishpacha was aware. So they both said, the halacha is actually an interesting halacha, if you embarrass someone in their sleep, and they die, so meaning they die in their sleep, so they never are even aware of the busha, you're still chayiv to pay busha damages to their offspring. So the Gemara says, so both say, what do you see from here? You see from, so why is the Gemara bringing down this case? The Gemara is suggesting that this case of embarrassing someone in their sleep should be the equivalent of what? Hitting someone who has a death sentence on them. In other words, hitting someone who has a death sentence on them, the Gemara posits, is like hitting a dead person. Okay, but the same way that if you embarrass a sleeping person, in other words, embarrassing a sleeping person should be the equivalent of hitting a dead person. And yet we see that what? Embarrassing a sleeping person, you're chayiv for. So too what? Hitting a dead person, quote unquote, you should also be chayiv for. To which the Gemara is asking, what's the case? B'sheiko ha'koshim b'shava pruta. Oh, we'll say, what's the case? The case is where the guy came over and hit Avram, who is the individual death sentence on his head. He injured him in a way where there was not a shava pruta. I will say, what's the halacha if you injure someone in a way where there's not a shava pruta? So there's no financial liability. So the Gemara says, I v'ha'amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he ko ha'ka she'en bo shava pruta, loke. Yet Rabbi said, we learned that even if you hit someone in a way where the injury does not cause, it's not a shava pruta worth of injury, but you still hit them, you're still going to get malchus. So the Gemara says, my pater de kamar, pater mi mamon. So we'll say, inachinami, what does it mean when we say pater? Pater means pater mi mamon. Not necessarily pater mi malchus, you might still get malchus, but you're going to pater mi mamon. Michlal, dibeno chai be mamon. Now we'll say, what we can infer from that is, it's only an acher, it's only someone else, i.e. a non-son. Who is Potter from Malchus? It is only an Acher who is Potter from Mammon. When the Chabura is not a Shaveh Pruta, but apparently a son would still be Chayiv. Ella Bidino. Rather, the Gemara says, you're right. What it means when the Braisa says Potter, it means Potter Bidino. Hachinami Bidino. So we'll say the idea when we say Potter is Einachinami, you would be Potter from whatever the relative halacha would be. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Hachinami, the Tani Gabi Acher Potter Bidino Ka'amar, Omi Malkus Potterle, Vakati Maishna. Fine, so says the Gemara, Ella Bidino, Hachinami Bidino, Ella Acher, Hainu time with the Potter. So we'll say, listen to this. Let's jump back for just a moment. So now we're trying to figure out, we have a very specific case. Avram has been sentenced to death. He's supposed to be led out to be executed. So what did the Braisa say? If we'll call him Yitzchak, either curses or hits his father, the son will be Chayiv. But if someone else curses or hits Avraham, he'll be Potter. So the Gemara says, again, so why the distinction? So the Gemara says, Ela achra hainu taimu de Potter damakra, venasi ba'amcha lo sar. Because the Masai, the Pasuk says, that a prince among your people you shall not curse. And we learn out from there the following, ba'ose ma'asa amcha. Rabbi said the only time you are chayiv for cursing someone is when they fit into the category of amcha. But if someone does not fit into the category of amcha, then there is no liability for cursing them. So Rabbi said the assumption is if someone is about to be executed, then what? He does not fall into the category of amcha, right? You don't get, you're not put to death for speaking during Chazaras Hashatz, right? In other words, you're put to death for, obviously, for some serious, I mean, again, you should know, just as an aside, Shulchan Aruch happens to say that for a person who speaks during Chazaras Hashatz, Gadol Avono Minso. His sin is too great to bear. Slush on the Shulchan Aruch. That's not like Shari Tshuva or Mesiyasa Shari. Hey, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Hey, but the idea is not put to death. That's the Gemara says over here, person who is put to death is no longer in the category of Amcha. See, what the Gemara is picking up on is the following. The Pasuk says, V'nasi ba'amcha lo sar. A prince among within your nation you shall not curse. It could have just said, Nasi lo sar. Why ba'amcha? To teach you that you're only chayiv for cursing someone who lives within the framework of Klal Yisrael. But someone who is living outside of the confines of the law, you are not chayiv ultimately for cursing them. Hatinach klala. So I understand then, if someone comes along and comes up to Avram, who's about to be executed, and curses him, you're not going to be chayiv. Hakka minalan. But we'll say, but again, if somebody strikes Avram, why would it not be chayiv? Demakshin hakka leklala. Because we'll say, again, in many different places, we compare hakka, hitting, to cursing. And therefore, again, if Avram, who is outside of the framework of Amcha, you will not be chayiv for cursing him, you will also not be chayiv for hitting him. Well, if that's the case, Ihachi b'no nami. But say, if that's the case, then why does that just apply to Acher? Why doesn't that apply to b'no also? In other words, even if Yitzchak, Avram's son, comes along and curses his father or hits his father, he also should be pater. Why? Because the father is living outside of the confines of Amcha. To which the Gemara says, Ihachi b'no nami, kedam rav Pinchas, b'sha'asa tshuva. Oh, I will say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where Avram did tshuva. In other words, I will say, even though Avram is about to be led out to be executed, he became a Baal tshuva. And I will say, remember again, we saw this earlier. We saw this, that as they were leading someone to be executed, what would Beis Din say to the individual? Asay tshuva. Chazor b'cha. Do tshuva. In other words, remember again, We'll say the beauty in Yiddishkeit is that even our punishments are rehabilitative and cathartic. You're about to be executed. This execution is part of your tshuva process. Do tshuva. Do tshuva. So we'll say the keys over here is where Avram, who's being let out to be executed, did tshuva. If he did tshuva, then what? Then what? Then he's back in Amcha. If he's back in Amcha, then what? Then you can't hit him and you can't curse him. But if he did tshuva, how can I have a shas a tshuva? But it, well, 1 second. So we'll say, now the Gemara is suggesting the reason the son can't curse, the reason why Yitzchak, the son, can't curse or hit Avram is why? He did tshuva. But 1 second. If he did tshuva, then what? Oh, ihachi acharnami. If that's the case that Avram did tshuva, Rabbi said, then again, everyone should be prohibited from hitting and cursing him. Amrav Mari ba'amcha. So Rav Mari says, no. Amcha doesn't just mean someone who is living within the laws of your people, but rather it means someone who is going to be living within Klal Yisrael, or someone who is going to live. This individual, B'mukoyim Sheva Amcha, means he has a lifespan within Klal Yisrael. This individual does not have a lifespan within Klal Yisrael. How do we know that? He's being let out to be executed. If that's the case, then why would the son be liable? Then the son also, Abba says, should what? Should not be liable ultimately again for hitting or for cursing his father. Here's the difference. We're going to see later on that a son is chayiv for cursing his father even after the father is dead. So Rabbi was saying, when it comes to a son at the end of the day, essentially, there is no permitted way for him to hit or to curse his father. He will be, because he will say again, and we'll see this in the next Mishnah, if a son is going to be chayiv for cursing his father even after the death of his father, see, even if the father is, dead man walking, mamish, he's sentenced to death, he's being taken out to be executed, the son still has liability for that. To which Rabbi said, the Gemara says, my haviyala. So we'll say, it's always interesting. I sometimes imagine to myself, that because these conversations actually took place in the Beis Medrash. So everything began with a very simple question. In the Beis Medrash, they posed the kasha to Rav Sheshes, which is, does a son have the ability to act in the capacity of a shliach Beis Din to go ahead and flog or curse his father? That was the shayla. And we'll say, What happened? So as you can see, it got away from us a little bit. Right? So you almost like you could see, like somebody gets up in the base manager and say, Marana Varabanan, let's get back on track over here. My Haviyala, by the way, what's the answer to the question? Right? Let's refocus a little bit, reframe the conversation. What is the answer to the question? Meaning, can a son act as a shliach Beis Din or not? To which the Gemara says, Amurava Barathuna. We'll say second line, I'm in Peyam and Beis, the Chintana de Bey Rabbi Yishmael. We'll say third line, Peyam and Beis, Lakol, Ein Haben Naas Ashliach La'aviv, Lakoso Ulekalalo. We'll say, Bottom line, Alok, Lamaisi Gimar Paskins, they said in the name of Tana de Bey Rabbi Yishmael, a son cannot act in the capacity of Ashliach Beis Din to hit or to curse his father. Now, we'll say, understand the novelty in this. Even though we say Kvod Shemaim Adif, we'll say again, we know that we accept, I want to point out, we accept Rav Sheshes' principle, which is, Rabbi said, that when there is a conflict between honor to God and honor to parent, who wins out? Honor to God. Rabbi said, we know that. My father says to be Michal Shabbos. I say, no. Bye. He says, I'm your father. I say, I know you're my father. The Rabbi Shalom was also my father. And when there's a conflict between what you tell me and what he tells me, I have to listen to him. I have to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says over here, here's the difference. The difference is here, there's no conflict. Why? What do we say? What do we say to Beis Din? Find someone else. Again, I don't have to be the one who does this. Find someone else to do this. There is no need for me to actively disrespect my father by flogging him or by cursing him, even though he deserves it, even though it's a warranted, mandated punishment. I'm not going to be the one who carries it out, with one interesting exception. Chutz mimesis. I will say, what's the one exception to this rule? If chas l'shalom, my father was found guilty of what? Inciting others to worship Avodah Zarah. Say, if my father Chas Hashem was a Mesis and he got others to do Avodah Zarah, then what? Then I am permitted to go ahead and be the Shaliach Beis Din, to go ahead and flog him or curse him, whatever it is. Why? Shahari Amra Torah, Lo Sachmo, Velo Sechasalav. when it comes to Avodah Zarah, essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is that all bets are off. So, and this is not just Tam Avodah Zarah, this is a Macy's. So also from the Torah's perspective, the worst infraction is the Macy's. What I was saying, you know, if you want to go sin, then what? Right, go. In other words, you know, the Gemara says, well, so we saw this Gemara. You know, the Gemara talks about the idea that sometimes a person can't fight the Yetzirah. So what do you do if you can't fight the Yetzirah? Remember what the Gemara says? What do? Yilbash Shchorim. Go to some place where no one knows you. Right? Put on black clothes. In other words, hide yourself and do what you have to do. If you feel you can't overcome your Yetzirah, well, what's the idea? The idea is go somewhere else, change your clothing. In other words, minimize the ripple effect and the collateral damage on others. Because when I sin, both say there's a ripple effect. When I sin, it has an impact on other people. So if you can't fight the Yetzirah, go somewhere where no one knows you, no one recognizes you, change your clothing and minimize the damage. So both say, what's the worst infraction? The worst infraction is when you're going down, you're going to take other people down with you. That, the Ribono Shel Olam says, is an unforgivable offense. You want to sin? Fine. You can't control yourself? Fine. That's between you and God. But to take others down with you is an unforgivable offense. Therefore, I can both say, the case of Macy's, which is someone who entices others to worship Avodah Zarah as well, the Torah says, Lo Sechmo, do not have any compassion upon this individual. Even if he's who? Even if he's your father. Shavuot says, so bottom line halacha lemaisa is that we say a son should not be the Shaliach Bezdin, to flog his father, to curse his father, with the one exception, which is if Chas Shalom, the father is a Macy's, then the son has the right to act as the Shaliach Bezdin. Good. Says the Mishnah, Bosei, Vayit, Amake, Avevi, Imo, Eino, Chai, Vachi, Esaba, Chabura. Bosei, if one strikes his father. So remember, last Mishnah we established that one is Chayiv Misa if one strikes his father or his mother. Now the Mishnah tells me I'm only Chayiv if I cause an injury that is a Shaveh Pruta. Or excuse me, I take that back. Achi, Esaba, Chabura. I'm only chayav, we'll say, if I cause an injury. So if a person just stam hits their parent, but there's no chabura, so we'll see. Chabura means either an internal or external injury. Zech omer, mi b'makalo mi b'makeh, shamakalo la'achar misa chayiv, v'makeh la'achar misa pater. So we'll say, there the Mishnah just says, this is one of the stringencies, you know, if you curse your parent even after death, you're chayiv for cursing your parent. But if you hit your parent after death, you are not chayiv. So both said, and this goes hand in hand. I mean, this is a flow from the first statement. I'm only chayiv for hitting my parent if it causes a chabura. So both said, therefore, the understanding is, if you hit someone after death, it does not what? It doesn't cause a chabura. Therefore, I'm not chayiv for beating up the corpse of my parent. But when it comes to makalel, when it comes to cursing, I am chayiv for cursing my parent even after death. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Aviv v'imo kilel, la'achar misa. So we'll say the halacha. So pasuk says, remember, it's quoting over here the pasuk, ish asher yikalel es aviv ve'es imo. So the Gemara understands that I'm chayiv even la'achar misa. I'm chayiv even for cursing my parent even after their death. Shiyachol hoil v'chayiv b'makeh v'chayiv b'makalel. Because we'll say, since we see a connection between striking my parent and cursing my parent. So also I would have said, just like for hitting a parent, one is only chayiv if the parent is alive. So too by makalo, I might have thought that one is only chayiv for cursing a living parent. Furthermore, there's a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma make she'asa bo shelo ba'amcho ki ba'amcho. So when it comes to make, so I'm chayiv for hitting a parent, whether they're ba'amcha and lo ba'amcha. What does that mean? That when it comes to hitting a parent, whether my parent is within the framework of amcha, in other words, that they behave like a Jew, they practice like a Jew, they love like a Jew, they live like a Jew, it doesn't make a difference. In other words, I'm chayiv for hitting my parent, no matter what the religious reality of that parent's life may be. Yet again, lo chayiv ola achar misa. Yet Rabbi said, not chayiv for striking a parent after they're dead. Mekalel shelo asa bo shelo ba'amcha ki ba'amcha. Rabbi said, we saw in the previous sugya that for cursing a parent, I'm only chayiv for cursing a parent if what? If they live ba'amcha. if they live a life within the established framework of Yiddishkeit, but if they do not live a life within the established framework of Yiddishkeit, I'm not chayiv for cursing them. I might have thought that what? Then all the more so I should not be chayiv for cursing a parent after death. Tamud lomar, aviv v'imo kilo, la'achamisa. Therefore, both say the Gemara says, no, the Drasha says that you're chayiv for cursing your mother and father at all times, even what? Even after their death. So that makes this point to Rabbi Yonasan, because as we're going to see in just a moment, Rabbi Yonasan doesn't darshan that phrase for anything else. Therefore, the phrase of Aviv V'imo is an extra one for him. And because it's extra, therefore what? He can darshan it for this purpose, to teach me that I'm chai for cursing my parents even after their death. El Rabbi Yoshia, my ikalameima, but Rabbi Yosef, current Rabbi Yoshia, what is there to say? This sign, Rabbi Yosef, what does Rabbi Yoshia say? And here we go. This sign, ish ish. The pasuk says, ish ish asher yikalis abeves imo. Ma tamulomar ish ish. Rabbi Yosef, why does the pasuk have to say ish ish every man? Why not just say man? So listen to this. Lerabos bas tumtum vaadrogenus. Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. It comes to include the daughter. Now, by the way, daughter doesn't mean daughter means child of. A tumtum and an androgynous. I might have had a havamina, that's what? That maybe, if the gender of my parent is not known, perhaps I'm not chayiv for cursing them. In other words, I will say, there's a havamina that says the following, that maybe the halacha is like this. Maybe the halacha is that it's only if my parent is definitively what? Aviv or imo. But if I don't know the gender of the parent, maybe again I'm not chayiv. Therefore, again, ish comes teaching, no, either if the parent is the tumtum or androgynous, I'm still chayiv. This wouldn't work with mother, but it would work with father. In other words, let's say again, the gender of the parent is not known. So the Gemara says, well, remember again, tumtum androgynous could have both sets of organs. So it's not clear halachically what their definition is. Asher yikala, les aviv esimo, imi ela aviv imo. Aviv shalo imo, imo shalo aviv minayin. Rabbi Yosef, furthermore, again, the way the pasuk reads of aviv imo, it could sound like what? You only chayiv when Rabbi Yosef saying, if you curse both your mother and your father. How do I know that even if I don't curse both my mother and my father, I only curse one of them, that I'm going to be chayiv as well? Talmud lomar, aviv v'imo kilo. Aviv kilo, imo kilo, divi Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef uses that phrase of aviv v'imo kilo to teach me what? Aviv o imo. See, the havamina is that maybe I'm only chayiv if I curse both my father and my mother together. Kamash lo, that even if I curse them independently, I'm still going to be chayiv as well. Rabbi Yonasan says, Mashma shnein ke'echad, mashma echad ve'echad bifnei atzmo. Rabbi Yonasan says, no. Aviv imo doesn't mean aviv and imo together. Aviv and imo could mean aviv and imo together. It could also mean aviv and imo independently. Ad shiyifrot l'cha kasav yachtov. So we'll say the only time we would say that the Torah is telling me that you'd only be chayiv if you curse your mother and father together would be if the Torah actually tells you that. So the Gemara says, "Ad shiyifrot l'cha kasav yachtov minale." So the Gemara says, "Nafkale me umekalel aviv v'imo mos yumas." He learns that, so we'll say ultimately again from the pasuk of mekalel aviv v'imo mos yumas. The Edoch, the other opinion would say, Homi baile lirabos bas tumtum vaadrogenus. So the other opinion says, no, we use that phrase to teach me that even the child of a tumtum and androgynous is chai for cursing his or her parent. V'seifokle, I'll say, first wide line, V'seifokle mi ish, learn it out from ish, debratar klasho b'nei adam, to which the Gemara says, no, I'll say, according to this opinion, we don't darshan that. Why? Because he holds that ish, I'll say, is just the regular terminology that the Torah uses. V'listni chomer b'make mi b'mekalo. But why don't you bring down the following idea? That there's a chumrah that hitting has over cursing. How so? Was a second one line p.m. in days. Shamake asa bo shelo ba'amcho ki ba'amcho. Was when it comes to hitting, one is chai for hitting a parent, whether they are an amcho or not an amcho. Masha'enki b'mekalo. In Rabbi Yosef, we saw by Mekalel, you're only chayiv for cursing which parent? A parent who lives in the confines of Amcha. but a parent who lives outside of the confines of a normative Judaic existence, one would not be chayef for cursing them. Kasavar makshinen hakal leklala. Because we'll say this opinion holds that we go in and we equate, we compare haka to klala. And just like haka, you're chayef for hitting a parent, whether they're amcha or outside of amcha, so to klala as well. Lema haritanoi kahanitanoi. Suppose I say that this time, or like this time, how so? Titani chada, we'll say, listen to this. Kusi atamatsuva haka also. Viatamatsuva aklalasa. We'll say, listen to this. This price it says a kusi. A kusi. We will discuss the kusi in just a moment. A kusi, you're chayef for hitting him, but you're not chayef for cursing him. The time you have another brisa that says, you're not chayef for cursing him, and you're not chayef for hitting him. Savrua, so we'll say, what's the logic? How do we reconcile these brisos? Savrua the koli am a kusi gere emesain. So we'll say, it must be that everyone agrees that what? Kusim are legitimate gerim. The other two, Rabbi, remember again, who are the Kusim? Who are the Kusim? They're people from the country of Kusa, who were resettled in Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur. Shalmaneser, the way he, when after he conquered nations, he uprooted them from their indigenous land and resettled them somewhere else. When the Kusim came to Eretz Yisrael, they were worshipping idolatry. There was an outbreak of lions that were devouring them. The Kusim realized that this outbreak of lions was because of their avodah zarah, and as such, they began to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shaila is, was their conversion legitimate or not? So the Gemara says, everyone agrees that kusim gerei emes hein, my love b'hakamiflegi, what are they not arguing about? Or what are they not arguing about the following point? Demar savra makshin haka leklala, umar savra lo makshin haka leklala. Therefore, Rabbi say what? What the argument is, do we compare hitting to cursing or not? One brisa says, one opinion and one brisa says yes, one opinion and one brisa says no, to which the Gemara says, lo, dechuli amal lo makshin haka leklala. It's actually not true. Everyone agrees that we do not compare haka to klala. V'acha b'hakam iflegi, what are they arguing about over here? Mar savra kusim gerei emes hein, umar savra kusim gerei arayos hein. So Rabbi say one opinion holds that Kusim are gerei emes. They're legitimate converts. If they're legitimate converts, then what? Then you are going to be chayef for hitting and cursing them. One says they are illegitimate converts, i.e. they're not Jewish. If they're not Jewish, then what? Then you will not be chayef for hitting and cursing them. To which the Gemara says, Marsav Kusi Gerayos Hein, Marsav Kusi Gerayos Ihochi, Hainu Diktani Allah. Rabbi say if that's the case, then it makes sense what we see on another brisa. Vishoro ki Yisrael. That ultimately, again, that the shore of a kusi would be like the shore of a Yisrael. Bless you, which makes sense if Rabbi say, if you hold that kusim gerei emes hein, then they're regular ger, which means we would treat their shore just like we would treat the shore of Yisrael. Elo, shmamina be'keisha pligi shmamina. Rabbi say, rather, what do you see from here? You see the machlokis ultimately is, do we compare haka to klala or not? That's the fundamental shayla. Do we say that just like haka applies ultimately, do we say that just like klala only applies to ba'amcha and not lo ba'amcha, so to akha only applies ba'amcha and not lo ba'amcha as well? So both say that is the fundamental machlokes. Fine. So both say, so bottom line, by the way, our takeaway from this is that halacha lemaisa, again, one is chayef for hitting a parent if the injury causes a chabura, internal or external. One is only chayef for hitting a parent when they're alive. One is not chayef for hitting a parent once they are dead. The logic of what I say behind that is because when you hit a dead person, you don't cause a chabura. I'm only chayef for hitting my parents when I cause a chabura. Next, what about makalo? I will say makalo is different because lemaisa, again, if one curses, that one is chayef for cursing their parent, both when the parent is alive, as well as even after the parent has died. An incredible idea. I will say that you're chayef for cursing a parent even after the parent has died. Mishnah, I will say, should go a little bit weiter. Hagonev nefesh miyisrael. I will say, next case, one kidnaps someone. Gonev nefesh miyisrael. So a person goes in and kidnaps a Jew. Eino chayef achiach nisena lirushuso. You're always like, now here's what's interesting. You're only chayiv if you kidnap the person and bring them into your rishus. So Rabbi says, it's actually quite interesting. We saw this again earlier when it came to the laws of theft. When it comes to the laws of theft, you're only chayiv if what? If there's a shinoi rishus. If there's a change of domain. So when you kidnap someone, you're only chayiv if you bring them into your domain. Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in order to be chayef for kidnapping, you need two things. Number one, to bring the person into your rishus, and what? You have to use them. In other words, you have to use them. You have to actually work them. Shenemar v'samer bo umachro hagoni v'espino. If one kidnaps his own son, Rabbi Shmuel says you're chayiv. The Chum poach and the Chum say you're pater. Both say we'll discuss what the nature of this machlokes is. Ganav, if you kidnap someone who is partly slave, partly emancipated, Rabbi Huda mechayiv. Rabbi Huda says you're chayiv. The Chum poach and the Chum say you're pater. Fine. Says Gemara the Tanakama lo bayinu. So we'll say Gemara is not focusing on the first machlokes. The first machlokes the Mishnah Bosa was the following: the Tanakama said that in order to be chayiv for kidnapping someone, what has to happen? You have to bring them into your rishus. Comes along Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says it's not enough to bring them into your rishus, but you have to what? You have to use them. So the Gemara says, is that to say that according to the Tanakama, you could be chayiv for kidnapping without using the individual? So Bosa said, here's the problem. The problem is the pasuk explicitly says. Gonev ishu. The pasuk explicitly says, "Ki yimase ish gonev nefesh me'achav mibnei Yisrael v'hisamerbo." Hisamerbo means that what you used or you worked the individual. So it seems to me that mid'oraisa, you're only chayiv for kidnapping when you do two things, i.e., you take the person into your domain and you actively use them. So how could the Tanakama say that by just bringing them into your rishus without using them, you'd be chayiv? To which more Tanakama lo vayim. Amar chiyav amar Reb Acha b'rei drava. Imar pachos mishave pruta ikabinayu. We'll say ultimately again, their fundamental machlokis will be what happens if you kidnap someone and you work them, but you work them for less than a shave pruta. So that seems to be the machlokis ultimately again between the Tanakama and between Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say ultimately again, it would seem to be that the Tanakama would hold that you're chayiv even if you work them less than a shave pruta, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say that in order to be chayiv, you have to work them at least a shave pruta. We'll say we'll just do one more line. Ganva umachra yashein mahu. We'll say listen to this case. Let's say you steal someone, and you kidnap someone, and you sell them, but they're asleep. Some people are deep sleepers, right? So Mamash, you kidnap them and you sell them and they sleep through the entire thing. Are you chayiv for that? Or machar isha leubra. Or Rabbi will say, you kidnap a pregnant woman. And they will say, what? But you're not kidnapping her for her. You're kidnapping her because you're selling her fetus. You're selling her unborn child. Mahu. Yesh derech imor bekach. O ein derech imor bekach. Rabbi will say, is this called, in other words, now that we've established that it's not just enough to kidnap the person, but you have to work them as well. Is this called ultimately working? Because remember again, in the first case, the person who's kidnapped is sleeping. In the second case, I don't really need the woman, I want the baby. So is this called derech imor or not? So we'll say, I don't understand. The Gemara says, what's the shaila over here? You're not working the individuals at all in this case. There is no working of the individual in case. To which the Gemara says, no. Lo tzvicha yoshein dezoga ale. We'll say, I am working the individual. Why? Because in the case where I'm stealing, where I'm kidnapping the person who's sleeping, we'll say, what am I doing? Dezoga ale. Zoga ale, we'll say, means Rashi says, desamach alav. I'm leaning on him. I'm using him as a support. So I am using him for my benefit. Now it just happens to be that's what? He's sleeping. See, he doesn't know, but I happen to be leaning on him, using him, and Isha, listen to this. Isha du'ukma ba'ape zeka. So we'll say, with the pregnant woman, I'm taking advantage of her newfound pregnant width. And what am I doing? There's a strong wind. I'm standing here in front of me and taking shelter behind her. So we'll say, in both of these cases, I'm using these individuals, right? So I'm leaning on the sleeping guy, and I'm shielding myself behind the pregnant woman. So we'll say, but again, interestingly enough, in these cases, so is this called kidnapping and usage or not? So derech imor bekach, we'll say, is this called a normative form of usage of the kidnapped individual or not? Oh, ain't derech imor bekach, my, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, teiku. Alright, Rabbi Yosef, we'll stop over here for today. Meretz Hashem will pick up with more kidnapping cases. B'sha'a tova mitzlachas tomorrow.